Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. I'm glad to be with you. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to get through to young folks. I had another situation. Actually, a grandfather calling me for his grandson who was trying to buy a car about 250 miles from here. I actually drove down, looked at the car, left a $1,500 deposit to drive back and arrange his financing. While he was arranging financing, he decided to do a vehicle history search on the vehicle that he had made a deposit on and found out that it had been wrecked, totaled, and reconstructed, meaning that the title that showed that it had a clean title, which he saw the title, had actually been washed, as we say in the car business. The title had been no longer said reconstructed or salvage title. So he calls the place back and says, hey, I found out that this vehicle that you were selling me, you told me that it just had a scratch on the front bumper and that it was repaired. It's actually been totaled. They said, well, you should have done more research. Your deposit is non-refundable. Isn't that nice? Who would do that anyway? What kind of businessman would do that, or businesswoman would do that to any customer, let alone a young, naive one? And since this was the second call in a week that I've had from, well, related to younger people getting in trouble with deposits, I decided to call the superintendent of the county school system in Greene County and let them know that I am available to come in and speak to their graduating seniors and to give them some advice in the financial lane. When I started thinking about, okay, what are the different areas that kids need to be prepared for as they go out into the world? And I'm just calling them lanes, for lack of a better analogy. Not the most important, but very important, would be a financial lane, to be able to understand how money works and how to manage your money. Maybe not as far as investments and stuff like that is concerned, but as far as making commitments with your money or money that you're going to borrow from somebody else, making good decisions. Another lane may be the, safety and security lane. Another may be relationship management. We could all use some coaching on that. Usually that involves, the key to that is communication. Would you agree with that? Maybe the religious lane. You know, where do you stand? If you have faith in something, then are you practicing that faith? Or you have faith in nothing, then maybe you're okay. Who knows? I don't think so, but religious matters are an important lane to be in. Probably the main lane, the interstate highway of life. Another one may be vocational, your job-related lane. So anyway, I thought that was a good analogy. So basically, if you are mismanaging your job, your faith, your relationships, your safety and security, your financial matters, then, you know, you're not doing well, obviously. You're struggling. You're not achieving goals. You wonder why you can't really get anywhere, can't get ahead. And it's because one of these lanes is not holding up its end of the bargain. But I thought I would concentrate on financial matters, the financial lane when it comes to young people. I think they need to understand what is credit and your responsibility to having good credit. Why does it benefit you to have good credit versus being delinquent on bills and you know, just how does that come back to haunt you over the long run? Also, you know, buying more than you can afford, understanding that. Understanding that buying a car is not the only cost of owning a car. You got to put gas in the tank, and that's a big deal right now. You've got to insure it. You've got to maintain it. You know, if you can't afford to buy the car insurance, had a middle-aged guy bought a Mustang Shelby GT350, never checked his insurance. Oh, he could get insurance. He just didn't realize how much it was going to cost. Now, it didn't keep him from buying the vehicle. He probably would have done it anyway, but still, it was kind of a surprise. That's one of the things that most or a lot of people do is they jump in too quickly. you know, one of the things that I always recommend to car buyers is to think about it. You know, you use that excuse or excuses like that when you're shopping around buying stuff. Just for example, you're shopping for clothes and a clerk comes up to you and said, "Can I help you?" And you say, "I'm just looking." And sometimes they will leave. Sometimes they'll say, "Well, is there anything in particular that you're looking for? Maybe I can direct you or send you in the right direction." And you know, and really we appreciate people like that. They understand that we don't need them to help us pick out a new blouse, but we would like to know where the blouses are, and so they could direct us to it and then leave us alone. But if you're in the process of buying a car and you're really feeling the heat, you know, the salesperson, and they're trained to do this at a lot of places, starts saying, "Well, you deserve this. You need to go ahead and do this today because this car may not be here tomorrow." You know, you say, "Is this price going to be good tomorrow?" I say, "Well, I don't know. They actually might raise the price on you." You know, if you're getting that kind of crap, then you need to bail, because they're trying to put the squeeze on you and trying to get you to make a decision that you don't need to make right now. I admit it's hard. You know, it's hard to deny yourself. You really want the car. Then so do you leave a deposit? Well, this kid did. It cost him $1,500 on a car he's not going to buy unless he can, you know, take the different avenues to solve that problem. What are the avenues to solve that problem? Number one, just give him a bad Google rating. I mean, that's one thing you could threaten with. Another is a complaint to the Better Business Bureau. Another is to have a lawyer write them a letter. And tell them that, you know, this is consumer fraud, which it is. If you're trying to sell somebody a car, you don't disclose all the details about the car. And then you can also tell them that you're going to write a letter to the Motor Vehicle Commission, and they will investigate just about any consumer complaint, especially in this area. So you do have leverage, but not if you don't know about it. You know, this grandfather was saying, "Well, what can he do?" And I said, "Well, why did he leave a deposit anyway? Does he have a document which states that the deposit was non-refundable? Did he know to ask that?" He said, "Well, no, he didn't know to ask it, and he does not have anything but a receipt for the money." I said, "Okay, well, you know, they told him something about the vehicle that was not true. And so, you know, he can, it's his word against them, but he can press them, and it'll cost him a lot more than $1,500 to defend that, that's for sure." So that's the kind of leverage that you can use. But why get into that situation to begin with? It doesn't make any sense. I go back to my dad's old rule. Good fences make good neighbors. And that means to get things in writing. I just made a deal with a guy on a car. He didn't have enough down payment to pay for the car, but he can deliver parts and services in the form of labor to me. So I agreed to pay a certain amount of his down payment for him. But he would owe me this other stuff. Now, am I going to just say, you know, he's a nice guy and everything? And he is a nice guy. Do I trust him? Yeah. Can he do that? He's talented. He can do all the work. But am I just going to leave it at his word to do that for me? No. I've been burned too many times, even by friends. So I'm writing up a promissory note that is enforceable in court if he defaults on me. He owes me a pretty good size, pretty good amount of money in parts and labor in the future. He's got 2 years to make it good, and he's going to sign a contract with me to do that. So, you know, these are the kind of things that kids can be taught. But you start with the very fundamentals. And so that's what I'm going to do with the Greene County school system. And I did talk to the superintendent of schools, and he suggested it to his principals, sent out an email and copied me and said, "Okay, Lenny Lawson at Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan is offering this service. Hopefully somebody will use it." I'm going to let you know how many people reach out to me, because, you know, and I'm really hoping that they care enough to do this, because this is a free thing that I'm offering. I'm not doing it to sell cars. I'm doing it to help young people get started right and not make a mistake when it comes to the financial lane of their life. You know, I could talk a lot about safety and security when it comes to driving and so forth, but I think the ears go deaf when you start talking like that about, you know, wearing seat belts and not going over the speed limit. Now, hopefully, you know, their parents have done a decent job with that. However, I say that and I think about how many kids grow up without parents or living with their grandparents, and the grandparents don't have time and they're tired and don't feel like doing it unless they feel like it's a real priority, and then they do. I'm not saying all of them don't. You know, I could talk about relationship all day long, you know, about how important it is to be able to react and respond to other human beings in a rational and positive way instead of, you know, not being able to relate to others just because you don't know them. You know, being cordial, opening doors for ladies, you know. I don't know. I guess I learned a lot of that in the Boy Scouts. Plus, my dad was totally intolerant of any type of behavior that did not show respect for adults in general, but especially ladies. So thank you, Dad. I appreciate you doing that for me. If you happen to know somebody in the school system in, I don't care, Washington County, Sullivan County, and think that this could be of value, then I'd be more than happy to go up there and talk to them. I just got to fit it into my schedule, but it is something that is, I consider it a personal mission of mine to help young people get started right. Too many of them get started in the wrong way. And they want, and I get it. I've wanted a lot of things too, and I've bought a lot of things that I wish I hadn't. If I just, you know, just thought about it a little while and really processed it. You know, I try to envision myself owning that thing. And when I wake up every morning and I walk downstairs and I see it in my garage, am I going to be glad I have that? And when I have to write that check every month to pay for it, am I going to be glad I'm writing that check? Is it going to feel good to me? I try to envision that. And that has helped me avoid buying certain things before. It worked on a vacation home. You know, I said, I am going to go to my favorite vacation spot one more time before I make a commitment to buy a condo with some friends. I had several friends wanting me to invest in a piece of property at the beach. And I just had to really think about it. I said, you know, it's hard enough for me to get 2 weeks away a year. So am I going to go to the beach more often? Is this going to be something that I'm going to dread paying my maintenance fees and all the other fees that are involved in owning a condo at the beach? And finally, I just decided with my wife, you know, we don't need this. Let's just stick with what we've got and let's go on vacation like we have been. We've been very happy. There is no advantage to us owning a vacation home. Now, some of you may disagree. Some of you have probably purchased maybe timeshares and stuff like that. I mean, from what I understand, there's a whole industry out there that helps people get out of timeshares. I mean, I hear more advertisements on that than I do people getting into timeshares. So maybe there's a problem there. Who knows? This kind of information can be helpful to young people. And again, if you know somebody, know a school that could use this or be open to it, that would like to have the guru come and speak to their students, and I'd be happy to do it. Just let me know. 423-552-2020 is my cell phone number, or LennyLawson2020@gmail.com. We'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. You know, even the guru steps in it every now and then. I did it at the Gooding auction that I went to with my brother a few weeks ago. We went to the Amelia Island car show and had an auction there. I told you about buying a 1988 Toyota Land Cruiser that had been upgraded with a Chevrolet V8 engine and a modern transmission. It's a wonderful vehicle, and in my mind, a great purchase. I think I can keep it for a couple of years and play with it and be able to get out, or I can sell it right now and make money. So that, to me, that's a win-win. The problem was with the Porsche that I bought, and I explained to you folks, if you have listened, I bought a vehicle that had the airbag removed on the driver's side. The steering wheel had been replaced with a sport steering wheel with no airbag. Now, I was at the auction, and I just did not look at the car as closely as I should have, or I would have never bought that vehicle. I let the emotion, my brother being there with me, get the best of me. Now, I knew that if I brought it home, based on what I had seen, that I could probably make money selling it. Problem is, I can't sell a car without an airbag in it. And they can't either. And that was my point with the Gooding auction. So even though their disclaimer, which was like 4 pages long, said that I was basically buying the car as is with all its faults. Now, if you look on the window sticker, or the little sticker, FTC sticker that goes in the window of just about every used car. It says that same thing. When you buy a car as is in the state of Tennessee, you're pretty much stuck with it. Now, the grandfather who was trying to help his grandson that put down a $1,500 deposit, he mentioned, doesn't he have like 3 days to back out of that deal? I've said this many times on this radio show. There is no 3-day right of rescission on the purchase of an automobile if you do it at the dealership. If you do it, like if I were to come to your house and sell you a vehicle on your kitchen table, or not on it, but, you know, sitting at your kitchen table, we shake hands, you bought a car, you do have 3 days to back out because we did it at your house. If you do it at a car dealership, you do not have 3 days to get out of a deal. You know, folks that buy a car on Saturday, for example, Sunday, it starts sinking in what they did. They drop off the car Monday morning and don't even wait for the dealership personnel to show up at work. They just leave the keys and say, on a note, and say, we don't want this car after all. They're stuck. If they signed the paperwork, they're stuck. They own the car. So what is the recourse? What do you do? Well, you don't drive the car to the dealership and park it in the front and leave a note. You drive up when they're open and you ask to speak to the general manager of the dealership, not the salesperson that you bought the car from, not even the sales manager, the general manager. He's the one that manages the, I guess, customer relations of the dealership. He's the guy that in some dealerships is sitting back in that big office out back. And, you know, if it's my store, you can come talk to me. I mean, the dealer, the guy who owns the store is usually the best one to talk to. It's all those middle managers that their job is to run interference in a lot of stores. Now, I tell my people, don't you ever run interference for me. If somebody wants to talk to me, then you call me. If I'm not here, if I am here, you come back to my office and I'll come out and talk to them. I'm not afraid to handle a situation. And, you know, if somebody, you know, bought a car on Saturday and then, you know, you've got the Sunday and they change their mind and they come in on Monday morning, they were never sold to begin with. And if you force those people to stay in that car, you've got an unhappy person from now on. You know, I would rather find a way to turn that situation around, and maybe they're in their wrong car. You know, first we have to find out, okay, what happened? What is it that you're not happy about? I mean, is it the color? Is it the, you know, it's not the right car for you, doesn't have enough room? What is the reason that you're wanting to back out? Well, we decided we couldn't afford it. Well, you know, they should have thought of that beforehand, right? I mean, they should have set their budget. Well, you know, the car just doesn't have enough room after all. Well, why did you leave in it then? You know, I'm not saying I would say this out loud. I'm just saying that these are the questions that I would ask somebody. You know, why didn't you, if you weren't 100% sure, why didn't you just leave? You know, I mean, nobody made those people buy that car, right? I mean, there is a lot. I've heard people say that, though, as an excuse. I've heard customers say, well, they wouldn't leave me alone and they made me buy the car. No, they didn't. They didn't make you buy the car. You made the decision to give in, maybe. And, you know, some of these salespeople and closers, they call them closers, that come in to close the deal, they're good. I mean, they're really good at saying the right things to get a reluctant customer to buy a vehicle. But you just can't give in to that. I mean, you've just got to stick to your guns. And they'll throw everything at the – if they're really throwing a lot of stuff at you, man, it's probably the wrong place to buy a car. I mean, don't you all agree with that? If they're really putting a hammer on you, then maybe that's not the best place to be buying a car. I just don't understand why people succumb to that. Let me rephrase that. I do understand why. I just wish they wouldn't. Let me take my last break, and I'll be back in just a minute. You know, some real simple things will keep you from making a bad decision and jumping the gun to buy a car. One is to drive it first. See how, you know, if you're close to your house, see what it looks like in your driveway. You know, just imagine yourself owning the car. Drive it to your workplace. You know, see what the car feels like on different road conditions, like driving over railroad tracks. And how easy is it to see out of? You know, and then make sure that you understand what you can afford. Take into account all costs, fuel, insurance, maintenance, and then, you know, the cost of the car itself. If you're having to pay monthly payments, then, you know, let's say you're stretching the limit at $500 a month, then your insurance is going to be more, gas is going to be more. You really need to take all those things into account. A lot of people just go into a state of denial, don't they? They just rationalize it until they can justify it in their mind that it's a great decision until Monday comes around. And then all of a sudden, Monday, it's not such a great decision. But if you really want to get out of a car deal, don't be a jerk about it. You know, don't go park it in the front of the parking lot right in front of the showroom and leave a note. Go in and talk to the people. And if they're not reasonable, then, you know, you probably bought it at the wrong place. If you felt all kinds of pressure to buy it in the first place, guess what's going to happen when you go in to try to back out of the deal? You're going to get the same kind of treatment. That's just the way it is. So be careful who you do business with. They can be all smiles, but if they have an answer for everything and, you know, they're twisting and turning and you have to talk to two or three people before they'll let you leave and they can't find the keys to your car, folks, you're in the wrong place. And you'll know it. I mean, there's dealerships like that all over this country. There's several in East Tennessee. And we just have to be careful with that kind of stuff. And that's what we need to train our young people to be able to resist that. Some will, some won't. So what? Somebody's waiting. That's what a salesperson said to me one time. And that's not really a good attitude. You know, they're going to do everything they can to close you on a deal that you shouldn't buy. If you're really reluctant about it, if you're having second thoughts, just tell them you won't think about it. That's all you got to do. And then get your keys and go home and think about it. If it's sold on Monday, you go back to get it. It's sold. Wasn't meant to be. You just have to look at it that way. They'll find you another one. So hopefully you paid attention and you can pass this information on to your youngsters. You know, you could tell them and say, before you buy a car, I want you to talk to somebody. And then give them my phone number. And I'll be glad to help you out. 423-552-2020. Again, Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.